Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. God is just so good. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth, and I am your host, Elder QT Docs, coming to you under the direction of Kingdom Builders International Institute, directed by Prophetess and Pastor Teresa Docs. I am here. And delighted to be here, grateful to be here, and blessed to be here. Amen. Very delighted. God is so good. I'm going to come to you out of Genesis 1 and 1, just starting out with that particular book. And my subject is going to be, I believe, and do you believe? Amen. God is good. Do you believe? And what do you believe? What's God done for you? Amen. God is just so good. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, God Almighty, we come to you. I come to you with a humble heart, a humble spirit, as a humble servant, as a humble child with my head bowed. Father God, I know you know whatever I seek, you know it before I say it. Whatever I need, Father God, you know it before I even ask it. Oh, Heavenly Father, to be you, to be with me, to be with us in these hard times. In this day of COVID, in these social economic disaster, in religious persecution, and in this time of hate, systematic racism, bigotry, and prejudice, Father God, we have hope. We have faith, and although it might be fading to God, we're asking you to please increase that hope. Lift us up to increase that faith. Lift us up so you can increase that strength. So we can see that light at the end of the tunnel. Father God, we believe in you. We believe that you will make us strong. Give us that power to survive all the obstacles that's coming our way, all the darts that Satan will send our way. We know there's a great storm, Father God. You are the only Father we trust, we believe, and there will be no other God before you. I'm asking you, God, to bless our listening audience. Bless them and cover them. Cover them with the blood of the Lamb. Cover their family. Cover their jobs. Cover their transportations. Cover their walk, their talk, their thoughts, their works. Cover their neighbors. Cover their communities. The Lord, we're asking you to continue to embrace them. And as we love you, Father God, as we worship you, as we praise you, we know all is well in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. I believe. Do we believe? You know, the Bible never argued about the existence of a God. And it begins, you know, instead with the simple majestic sentence that in Genesis it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. The Bible begins with a declaration. The Bible doesn't argue with anyone. It's just telling it like it is. There is a God who created all things. And it's right there for us in black and white. And if you do not start there, and if you miss the central truth of what Genesis is saying, you know, that's what Proverbs 1:7 means when it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Note, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. And in the beginning, God, the beginning of knowledge. Those are two things. In the beginning, but the beginning of knowledge. When God created, start creating things, that's knowledge. He started creating it. It was there. All things begin with God. All knowledge begins with God. That is precisely what the Bible is proclaiming, that when those who deny God are fools. And Psalms 14:1, you see, this stands to me as a normal judgment. You know, when you see these highfalutin, sedity educated, you know, individuals, you know, it's a very smart person can easily drive off the cliff and be smashed, killed like anyone else. That's the sort of the folly that Psalms promised in his mind. So if you leave God out of your calculation, and so many of us leave God out of our calculation, we think that it's by our own might that we do things and we accomplish this and we accomplish that. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, you're wrong. Wrong answer. Absolutely, you're wrong. You missed the mark. You have missed the mark. If you think your calculation is without God, you're wrong. I guess there will always be a mystery in your life if you think what you have accomplished, think you have, and you deny the existence of God, you are a fool. Because God created everything. He's the knowledge of your knowledge that allowed you to prosper and develop the way you are. And you must give him the glory. Because God made it all possible, not you. If you leave God out of your calculation, once again, you miss the mark. You miss the central fact of what is going on. I know it's not that easy to believe, especially when we have experienced so much. You know, for example, look at Thomas, doubting Thomas. You know, he was one of the most committed of the disciples, you know, found it hard to believe again after Jesus had been crucified. He wanted to believe. He alone among the disciples had understood the following, that following Jesus might require sacrifice, still he kept on following. You know, that's like some of us. You know, we keep following these knuckleheads, and we know that it might looks good what they're doing. It might appears to be good what they're doing, yet we keep following. Now, we might have our doubts. We might know, we say what he's doing or what she's doing is wrong, but yet we continue to follow. But Thomas, he had seen all of the beauty, all the beautiful things that Jesus had performed. Thomas was around. He had believed and saw some of the things, believed some, and didn't believe other things. But let me tell you, my brothers, seeing himself and other disciples forsake Jesus. He saw how they believed at first, but then he saw how they forsake him when time came to stand by Jesus. He saw how Peter ran. You know, he noticed this. He knew how others, how his brothers, his colleagues, his homie, you know, decided to forsake Jesus in the time of crisis. See, bad experience can undermine our confidence, and that makes it hard to keep trusting. I know it happened to you because it happened to me. I mean, we've all been conned one way or the other. You know, they said there's a sucker born every minute. And once you've been conned once, or you've been tricked once, or made a fool of once, you know, it's hard to believe in that person again. It's hard to believe in that thing again. It's hard to believe in what's going on. Yes, it's hard to believe. But, amen, the interesting theme in the Bible, it says that we find it almost in every book of scriptures from the Old to the New Testament. It's the theme of believing God. Believing God. And you know, in Genesis, it talks about God came to Abraham, you know, really out of nowhere, and told him that, you know, he and his wife Sarah were going to have a baby at their age. You know, I have reservation. You know how Abraham probably said, you know, look, man, I'm old. You know, he said, you know, the promises that it sounded ridiculous. You know, where is he coming from? You know, like he's saying, like, you know, I guess we all got jokes. But Abraham, he said to God, he said, I'm an old man. You know, I'm broken down and tired. Those days are long past me. And to top it off, you haven't seen my wife. She's broken down and old just like I am. And busted too. But you know, and you coming to me with this story? But then the Lord had to, you know, the Lord looked at him and had him to look up. You know, man, look up at the sky. What do you see? Do you see the stars? The Lord is telling Abraham, you know, you see the stars. This is how many descendants you're going to have through the birth of Sarah, baby. See, what, you know, what the scripture is saying is so profound. It's saying that the Bible is telling us that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as a righteousness, as righteousness. So do you believe? You know, we'd rather believe a lie than believe the truth. You know, we'd rather believe something that is so far-fetched because, you know, and that's something I just can't quite grasp, you know, digest or consume when I hear people believing a lie than believing the truth. Amen? You know, I guess if you believe a lie, is easier because you could continue to tell more lies, you know. The truth, you have to keep telling the truth over and over again because the truth is the truth. You know, it's just like so many of us rather believe a lie. You know, you tell someone something and they don't believe it. You know, you try to help someone and they won't believe it until they go through the experience. Then it's that Monday morning quarterback where they say, oh, man, I made the wrong play. I made the wrong move, but now it's too late. The opportunity was there to believe. and you refuse to believe. Amen. I mean, the New Testament tells us this story that, you know, about that Roman soldier. We all know about that Roman soldier whose servant was dying. He heard that Jesus was on his way, and he knows this is the man that healed and raised the dead and did all these other good stuff. So he approached Jesus. You know, we all know it. And he said, Lord, Lord, you know, he said, my servant is sick. He said, you know, he was telling Jesus, he said, you know, can you heal him? And Jesus responded, well, you know, take me to the man. No, where is he? Yeah, I'll heal him. There's no deal. It's no big deal. It's no problem. And then the soldier, and what the soldier said next is profound to me. It's enlightening because, you know, the soldier said, you know, he said, hey, he said, Lord, he said, you don't have to go to where he is. He said, all you have to do is say the word. Amen. Say the word. Hey, word up. Say the word, and I know he will be here. That's in Matthew 8:6-8. I mean, he said, I know you will be here. Now, the Bible said that when the soldiers said those words, Jesus marveled. You know, I guess probably Jesus said, this man got more. I can't believe this. You know, in other words, Jesus said that, Jesus' jaw dropped. Jesus had awe that, hey, this man believes in me. He believes in the word. You know, isn't it ironic that, you know, we'll go up to someone and we say, hey, you know, hey brother, hey sister, he said, can you do this or can you take care of this? And they'll say, yeah, go ahead. I got you covered. I got you covered. And you believe that person got you covered. So you go on about your business because you know that person got you covered. Now, you wouldn't ordinarily, you know, say, hey, well, man, let's walk to the bank because I don't believe you're going to give me the money. You would say, let's walk to the grocery store because I don't believe you're going to buy the food for me. You know, you don't say, let's go to the gas station, man, because I don't believe you're going to fill my tank up. You know, when someone say, well, I got you covered, man, just go ahead on. Don't worry about it. It's taken care of. You know, I'll be there to put the roof on your house. I'll be there to do whatever. I mean, you believe that person. In the essence, the centurion was saying to Jesus, you don't have to walk this long journey with me. Just say the word, and I know that my servant will be here, will be healed. You know, and what did Jesus do? Jesus turned to the crowd like, hey, did you hear that? You know, do you hear what my man is saying? You know, I have seen the faith in this man, but I have never seen the faith like that in all of Israel. This man got more faith, and he believed Jesus would do what he said he would do. You don't have to just come physically and touch somebody and do all this. Jesus said, hey, it's all done. See, now what in the world did this soldiers do that caused Jesus to stand at a jaw-dropping, you know, it's because he believed. Do we believe? Do we believe Jesus is going to work it out for us? Do we believe Jesus is going to pay our bill? Do we believe we're going to be healed? Do we believe we can walk again or see again or move again? Do we believe we're going to get that job? Do we believe, you know, we're going to find ourselves a helpmate? Do we believe? The soldiers did. The centurion did. God loves it when his people believe him. It's the simplest definition of a word that is used in many scriptures that we read. It's called faith. God says something, we believe it. That's faith. Pray to God and ask for something, that's faith. We believe God is going to make it work. Somehow it's going to work for the good, for our good. Amen? Our God is an awesome God. Do you believe? Our God. I mean, the results of believing in God is, it's amazing. You know, as I look back on, you know, on all the times in my life, just when, the, you know, like the prodigal son, you know, sometimes I have chose to walk down the path of sin at one particular time. And in each situation that I presented myself, I had, it was my choice to do what I did, the choice to believe the word of God or to believe the lies of Satan. What is your choice? It's a choice you have to make. It's a choice that you have to believe what is right. And when you look at it, the choice is really simple. It's obvious to me. We know right from wrong. Of course we do. I know we do. Should we believe God over Satan? Heck yes, without a doubt. If you have any doubt, you're too lukewarm for me. You're too lukewarm for God. You're too lukewarm for other saints. Because we know you believe in the father of lies, and apparently that's which way you, the way you're going to go. Amen? Then why so often do we choose not to choose the best way to go? I can't seem to understand that. Why do we choose what God says and we refuse to choose the best way? The best way is his way. Because Satan is really good at what he does. But we know God is better. We know that Satan is the greatest deceiver in the history of the world. You know, Pastor and Prophetess Teresa talked about that on her Wednesday Bible teaching. She talked about how Satan is deceitful, how Satan does things to you know, and if you're not ready for Satan, if you don't know the word, and Satan will trick you every time. You know, he'll lasso you down and tie you up and make you believe whatever he wants you to believe. And then you get into that position where you have no choice but to say, I believe him, because you don't know the word. Amen? He's the greatest deceiver in the history of the world. He's the master at presenting to us a picture of things that's better. It's just camouflaged, my brothers and sisters. It's a facade, my brothers and sisters. It's a mirage, my brothers and sisters. I'm trying to tell you, don't let green grass fool you. Or they said, don't let the smooth taste fool you. Amen? Full of life, apart from the obedience to God, is far too often stupidity. We cannot be disobedient. Because when we are disobedient, it's like taking the bait of Satan. He loves it. He's deceiving you all the way. Amen? And every single time God's word proven is true. And Satan's words are lies. Sin, my brothers and sisters, never produced what it promised. Amen. When you are con, when you fall for these Ponzi schemes, when you fall for the three-card Motley, when you fall for all these other little crazy gimmicks, it never proved and never produced the promise that it results in, because that's what the devil is all about. He's a deceiver. The result you're going to get from him is death, shame, embarrassment, guilt, in prison. It's not going to prove to be what you thought it was going to be. Amen? our Satanist, the Satanist, the deceiver of all times. But on the other hand, think about it. Sometimes when presented with the allure of sin, you know, you're able to see through the deception and believe God at his promise. See, sometimes you hear someone try to con you, you know, they tell you, you know, whatever the con may be, you know, if you have that discernment, you could just try, you know, you try the spirit by the spirit, and you can see that something just ain't right. You know, there's a dead cat on the line, as they said. It's just not right. And you will know one way or the other that that's not of God. You're being conned. You're being hoofed. You're being dugamonger. You're being whatever. You will believe, you know, it's just not it. But when God presents it to you and it's up to you and face to face, you'll say, hey, you know, this is Satan working. This is his bait. You will believe God now before you sin and find that life and joy and peace is when you're obedient and you believe in God, you're going to have that life of joy and peace. But if you choose sin and experience the consequences that's going to come with it, you're going to lose your money. You're going to lose your family. You're going to go to prison. You're going to end up dying. You're going to end up in the hospital. You're just destruction, disaster. The tsunami of your life is going to hit you so hard, you're going to realize, hey, I made the wrong move. I made the wrong choice. But that choice was mine. And the consequences is unbearable. But either way, you will know. Eventually you will believe God. You will believe God. You believe his word. Now you know that his words are true. Either way, you're going to know it. And one of the beautiful aspects of the story of it all is that when you get to see the consequences of sin without having to experience them yourselves. You know, we talk about the prodigal son. He was brought to his lies, and when we know death is coming, and the friends, the reason Jesus told that parable, I believe is why pastors like Teresa continue to retell it is to serve as a gentle and loving warning to all of us. To all of us. Many of you, many of us, even now are faced with this same dilemma as the prodigal son. You know, maybe we haven't walked down the same road he did, but those same doubts he had are your doubts. Those same questions are your questions. Is life best found in being in a life of obedience or disobedience? Am I missing out by truly following God? Do you think you're missing out by truly following God? I know the world, the secular world, seem like it's just booming out there. My goodness. Everything is happening in the secular world. Yeah, you think you're missing out on a lot. You think you're missing out on the glorious fun. You think you're missing out on whatever you believe in your heart that you're missing, but you're not. And finding a life of obedience to God, you're not missing out on anything. You're gaining. You're prospering. You're prospering in health. You're prospering in your spirit. He's prospering. Amen. I mean, if that is where you are, you know, let me explain to you that I want you to know that something may be you wouldn't expect to hear from maybe your pastor or your parents or what, or your colleagues or your friend, your homie, questions that you ask yourself are legitimate questions. They are legitimate questions. Amen? But they're also questions Satan desperately hopes you answer wrong. He want you to believe that, man, you come out here to the Jew joint, and you come out to the Jew joint on those dirt floors that Mama Phillips used to dance on down in Mississippi. I mean, come on. He think if you go out there, you know, at some of these clubs, you know, he think if you go steal, that you're better off. Amen. He wants you to believe that this is the right way and not following Christ is the wrong way. You see? And Satan is a deceiver. I mean, it's just like my prayer for all of us is that the story of the prodigal son helps you see past those deceptive lies. Believe God at his word and stay at home where you belong. Amen. Amen. You know, it's that old song that came to mind, you know, speaking of that, stay at home where you belong. You know, we talk about this, you know, the runaway child, you know, running wild. You know, it says you play hooky from school and you can't go out to play. Yeah, mama said for the rest of the week in your room, you got to stay. And then you say, oh, you feel like the whole world is picking on you. You're like some of us do. You know how we do. But deep down inside, you know it's not true. You know you did wrong. You know you did wrong. Now your consequences is following you, right? And now you're punished, and you call your mother because your mother wants to raise you in the right way. But you don't care because you think it's the grass is greener on the other side because you already made up your mind you want to run away. You're on your way. Run away, child. Run a while. You're running, child. You're running wild. Better go back home where you belong. You know, it's ironic. We have all experienced that sometime of our life. We're thinking that, you know, the decision mama and pops made to us, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, they don't know that Lucretia or Kwame is a good guy, but yet mama and daddy knows that boy is a thief. That boy is always doing something wrong, and she's always trying to do this and trying to do that. But yet we think in our mind that they don't know what they're talking about, and so now we rather believe a lie than to believe the truth because we're thinking that, hey, we know more than they do. So we make that wrong decision. You know, we're starting to run and thinking we're going to do it on our own. Then when we get out there in the streets and we find out we left home and we didn't bring any food with us, we didn't bring any money with us, we didn't bring any change of clothes with us, we didn't bring any common sense with us, and now look what happened. Now you're looking for mama and you're too far away. You're looking for papa and you're too far away. They can't hear your cry. But yet you hear sirens going all over the doggone place. You don't know if they're coming for you. And you see all these crazy knuckleheads looking at you and smiling and making gestures. And yet you don't know what to do. And you can't call for mama because she's too far away. You can't call for daddy because he's probably at work. I'm just saying, now you made that mistake. You made the wrong decision. We're talking about, you know, go back home like the prodigal son did, where you belong. Amen. Because you're wrong. You got to believe in the truth. You got to be able to discern what is real and what is fantasy. What looks like gold is like fool's gold. It's not really gold. But yet you'll go out there and try to pick up every rock you can that looks like gold. And all you have is a bunch of rocks in your pocket, your pants coming down, on your hips, I mean, it's just ridiculous. You got to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You got to believe what is truth. Amen. Do you believe? Do you believe that our God is there with you? Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Amen. Do you believe that Jesus is our hope? He's our one in hope. Amen. The one who shows us the truth. The one that requires commitment from us, conviction from us. It requires us to put away all of those bitter experiences and to reject all of the life-stifling propaganda that we hear in our culture today, in our society today, in worldviews today. It's required that for us to venture out and trust in God, believe in God. It requires us to be willing to be different. That's not hard. I mean, when you are different, you stand out, stand above the crowd. When you are different, you are respected. When you are different, people will approach you differently. People will speak to you differently. You will be respected. Our young brothers and our young sisters, you know, we ask for respect. But we don't believe in respect for others. But when you believe in the Word and the Word of God, you're going to believe in self-worth. You're going to believe in yourself. When you start believing in yourself and have a respect for yourself, and if you don't know yourself, it's time to pick up that Bible. To know who you are in Christ, to know where you stand in Christ, what wall you are on, what gap you are in between standing in. Amen? But it still promises, there still promises that God is saying is that if that through his believing, you can have life. Through his believing, through you believing in God, you can have life, real life, eternal life in his name. Not in your friend's name, not in your homie's name, not in your colleagues or your peers or your coworkers or whatever. Talk about real life. We're talking about eternal life in his name, God's name. Decide to believe, my brothers and sisters. Decide to believe. Purposefully, please. I'm asking you. Live as if you believe. Because when you live as you believe, your light will shine. If you believe in God, make it known. Don't be ashamed. Proclaim his word. Get up on the mountaintop. Stand up on a chair. Get up on some kind of curve or something. Don't be ashamed to tell someone, I believe in God. And this is what he did for me. Stand up. Keep on reaching out towards believing until believing happens. Faith. Faith. You got to have faith. When you believe it, you got to have faith. Believing to me is synonymous to faith. It's the same. You got to have faith. You believe you're going to get that job. You believe you're going to pass that test. You believe you're going to meet some wholesome guy or gal that has the word in his or her heart. You're going to believe in that helpmate. You're going to believe it's going to happen. You keep believing until it shapes your life. It shapes your thoughts, your walks, your talks, your works. You keep believing that what you're doing, and you are sanctioned by God to do what you're doing. Because if you believe in God and believe what he's saying, and you have that faith and you pray and you say, Lord, this is what I'm asking for, and you believe it, and you step out in faith and do what you had prayed that you wanted to do, make it happen. You got to believe, my brothers and sisters. You got to believe. Amen. Now, the only thing God is requiring that you acknowledge and accept the gift he has given us through the price he paid, through the sacrifice of his son, in your heart. If in your heart you believe this is true, you might say something like this: God, I want to know what you know. I know I don't know the way, or I have lost my way, or even I think I know the way. But I, dear Father, believe your way is better. Because when you tried everything else and you went west, now it's time for you to try the best. Try God. When you say that you believe that God's ways is better, that you're saying to yourself, I have arrived at this crossroad. You're saying this. Now salvation is coming. It's starting to walk in your direction. Now you need to find a good Bible-based church or a good place to where the word is being spoken. Now you have arrived at this crossroad in your life. You said, in my life where I believe and I confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And I want to know you. You want to know Jesus. You make the decision. And let God, you let him do the rest. You let him pick you up. You let him do the rest because he's there. He's going nowhere. He never forsake you. You left him. Now it's time for you to reach back out. Now it's time for you to moonwalk and say, hey, Lord, now I want to dance with you. I danced with the devil already. Now it's time for me to dance for you. I want to dance like David. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. He's an awesome God. Now I'm going to just turn this over to Pastor and the Prophetess Teresa Docks. And I hope she's on the line. And let her take over from here. Because she always got a good word. Amen. She always has a good word. We're going to pause for a cause. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You know, I'm going to do a little moonwalk a little bit and ask Mother Phillips if she's on the line, if she want to say a word or two, because she always got a wholesome word to say. She's a woman of wisdom. She's been around and she can impart something into all of us. Mother Phillips, if you there and you want to say a word or two.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Ever, Doc, for the precious word of God. Yes, I believe in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Ever, for you allowing your mother to come on the line to give my testimony. My name is Margie Phillip. I'm 84 years old, and I am a God-fearing woman. I love the Lord. God is my everything. Without him, I am nothing. I thank God for his grace and his mercy. Hallelujah. Where he brought me from and to. In 1993, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I was treated with radiation and medication. And the doctor told me I was cancer-free. Hallelujah. But in 2005, the cancer came back. So the doctor had to remove the right breast. So I am cancer-free. Thank God. Almighty, for he is good and very good. I have some bad days, and I have some good days. Oh, thank God Almighty. My good days outweigh my bad days. And so I won't complain. He's been good to me. It's been 28 years since then, so I give him all the praises, all the honor, and all the glory. So I just thank you for listening. I thank the congregation for listening. And I give God praises for all of you. So thank you and thank you and thank you. Amen.
Amen. That is a wonderful testimony. I mean, it just makes you want to just bow and just say, there is a God.
Yes,
I believe. And that's what Mother Phillips did. She believed.
Yes,
she believed
yes.
in God, and God made it all possible. So, my brothers and sisters, I believe. We must believe.
Yes.
If you want peace, if you want joy, if you want tranquility, if you want rest,
yes.
that unspeakable rest, you got to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now I'm just going to turn this over to Pastor and Prophetess Teresa, Docs. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Bible said always be ready. So I want to encourage everyone to live every day and just be ready. Just be ready. Just be ready. Be ready for what's to come. Don't let the enemy catch you off guard, because when it come up on you, it is to overtake you. But if you're ready, you're prepared. So when it happened, you just roll with the punches, right? Amen. I want to thank Elder Docs for just coming forth with an awesome teaching. And as he minister and teach the word, it's just a blessing to hear him go forth. And I thank God for him. I thank God for who he is and how God is using him and how he is a man of God with a hammer. Amen. And that hammer is not to hurt you, but it is to heal you. As Mom was saying, she had cancer in her breast, and she said they removed the cancer. Oh, yeah, she said, I had some good days, and I had some bad days. So it's going to cost you something. You heard that song, It Hurts So Good. It might hurt, but it's good for you. So I want to thank Elder for that Hurt So Good hammer that he ministered with, that he teach with, and that he lived by. Amen. A true soldier. And I just thank God for just everyone on the line. And I pray that these teachings is putting a thirst, increasing your appetite to become all that God has called you to become, because no man know the day or the hour that he's going to come back. And he's coming back. He's coming back for his church, the church that is in you. So we have to be ready. So I want to encourage you, don't let nothing cause you to turn to the left or turn to the right, because they come, the naysayers, they're coming. The enemy is coming, but you keep going. You keep moving forward. You keep building on the house that God is building. Amen. Not the house that Jack's building. The house that God is building, and it's in you. So I want to thank everyone for being part of what God is doing with Kingdom Builders. And if you like what we're doing, I feel like a record. If you like what we're doing, I want to encourage you to sow into where you grow. Amen. And you can go to www.giveafly.com. Go there, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. Every seed that you sow, we pray over it. We believe God for a direction for you. We believe God for healing for you and your family. We believe God. Ministry salvation is free, but don't forget, ministry costs. So, and then the Bible also says, where your heart is where your treasure lies. Don't forget that. Where you spend your money, that's where your heart is. So I want to encourage you to keep on doing what God called you to do, and to stay in the presence and believe that there is no good thing that he will withhold from you if you walk uprightly. Amen. And we can't leave that forgiveness out, because sometimes you could be so wounded that you don't know how to forgive. Forgive, believe, keep pressing, because you're going somewhere. Amen, amen, amen. I'm telling you, Thirsty Thursday for Truth with Elder QT Docs every single Thursday. When the Lord allows, he's here teaching and ministering the word of God. So you keep us in your prayers. When you pray, don't leave us out, because as we pray, we're praying for you. So again, we want to thank you for tuning in. And I don't know if there's anyone on the line that may need prayer. We're taking prayer requests, not that we're praying now, but we're praying, taking names for anyone that may have someone that there's an urgency and you want prayer requests, and we pass it on to tons of intercessors that don't play. Amen. So if you have any prayer requests at this time, I'm going to open the lines and ask for any names that anyone may want to put on the prayer list. And if you don't want to say it now, you can give us a call at area code 313-583-9739. That's 313-583-9739. So is there any prayer requests for anyone that you would like to give us their names? We are open to do that. We will be having Friday night prayer. So I want to add if there's any names to be added to the list. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we know it. Amen.
Alfonso Nicholas.
What is the first name again?
Alfonso.
Alfonso. And you said Nicholas. Is that two people or is that his last name? Okay. All right, we got him on there. Amen. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Well, amen. Just know that every Friday we are meeting God at the throne for others. So I want to encourage you, send us your prayer requests. You know, you can call in, you can text them to us, and I'll give you, actually, email them at kingdombuildersinternational@gmail.com. We will get in the faith fight with you. And just know that when we say we're talking about we of 30 years of intercession. So these intercessors are, I'll say, mature saints. I'll say it like that. And they know how to get a prayer through, know how to get a prayer answered, and know how to get direction from God. So we're here to make a difference. So don't be ashamed to turn those names in, because when people talk to you, that's because they trust you. And you have to know when is your assignment to intercede for them or to ask for intercession. Amen. Amen, amen. So with that being said, we're going to get ready to end the line. Elder, I just want to ask, is there anything else that you would like to say before we end the line?
No, I think you did. You said everything, and I just want the people that's on the line to be blessed. Amen.
Well, amen, amen. Be blessed and know that if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So we say God bless everyone. Have a blessed, supernatural rest of your evening and keep your mind focused and stay ready. Amen. So God bless everyone and we love you.
Remember.